Take your Bibles, if you would, and join me again in Matthew chapter 2, exactly where we looked on Wednesday evening. We're going to study the exact same text again, but from a different perspective. Many of you in the room are familiar with the story of the wise men and intricately familiar with each of the details. Sometimes familiarity can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be not such a good thing. If it helps us to focus in on something and to do so with more intensity, good thing. If it helps us to drift off and disappear, maybe not such a good thing. At one point in today's message in each of the other services, I mentioned the Christmas trees. Oftentimes, you're able to come into the sanctuary each year at Christmas time, be familiar with what it's going to look like, and we've kind of established a pattern. For example, the trees that are normally in the choir loft preceded my pastorate, which when we finally decided to take them out of here the other day, that means they were at least 25 years old. And every year they're near about destroyed when they go back into storage. We have to strip them and redo them. And so I said the other day, just get them out of here. And so we took them out and we put the two trees in the choir loft that you see, which were intended to be in the foyer, which now there are two more that you see, and another in the bride's room. What's interesting and different to us as a church is it's the first time, to my knowledge, that we have had colored lights in the sanctuary and, in fact, in the church. Generally, we might think, well, those are more festive and they're more celebratory, and therefore they can't be in the church. We should only have white lights in the church because they speak of purity and of linen and perfection, and so we don't go with the colored lights. In fact, I had to overcome the battle in my own mind the other day. Was it appropriate to put them on the colored setting? And I finally spiritually rationalized it, and I'm glad that I did. Because now I see two different things when I see the trees. First of all, I see the nations. Every tongue, tribe, and color in the presence of the Lamb of God in eternity, worshiping Him. That is our mission and our purpose, to take His gospel to the whole world. Well, in this service, as you were singing, I came up with a whole nother list. The left tree, imagine the nations. The right tree, Jesus. When you look at the tree, what do you see? Well, when you see the limbs and their green nature, you ought to see eternal life. When you see the perfect purple, you ought to imagine the royalty of King Jesus. When you see the blue, the divinity of Christ. When you see the green, that He is creator and sustainer of all things. When you see the amber or the yellow, the fire of the Holy Spirit. When you see the red, that He is the Savior of the world for all who believe in and by and through His blood. So now, I have no problem with colored trees in the sanctuary because in them, I see the message of the gospel. Eternal life for the whole world and the Christ and all of His attributes, and we could even add additional. But you know, the familiarity of the room overall helps us at times, but sometimes it can be a distraction in itself. So as we look at the passage concerning the wise men, I want you to be very careful not to drift off because of your familiarity with the text, but all the more to realize there is a message for us each and every time we read a scripture, whether it is the same one or a different one, and its message is important for us today. This past Wednesday, we considered the star, where it was, what it meant, and many things about it. But today, I want us to think about why the gifts that were selected by the Magi to present to Jesus. Let's look in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel. After Jesus, which by the way means the Lord saves, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, that's Herod the Great, Magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Notice it doesn't say, where is the one who will become king of the Jews? It says, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet, speaking of Micah, has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, a king, who will be shepherd of my people Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I want us to think about these gifts today. Why these gifts? Sometimes gifts that are received just make no sense. 40 years ago this Christmas, I was at Miriam's family's home with their family and extended family for their family meal and gift opening time. Everyone had opened their gifts with the exception of Miriam's older brother, who at the time was a senior in high school. His name is Mark. He had one package that was square in form. It was about this wide, this tall, and this deep. Perfect square. I remember it very clearly. When Mark opened the box, I figured that the box was merely that, a box in which a gift, something different, had been placed. Because when he opened the packaging, what we saw was a box that at some point had contained a massive muffin. Muffin, like a blueberry muffin, but it was a grain muffin. And I was just a little tickled by the box that something could be so large, this wide, this tall, and this deep. So Mark opened the box like me, assuming that there was something else he was going to get. And when he opened it and pulled it out, wrapped in plastic, was this massive muffin. The muffin was so large that when we were pre-COVID-19 at Salem, with the attendance we have, we could have had three Sundays of Lord's Supper in all three services, and everyone broken a piece of the bread off. And even if a few of you had used a piece as large as a Hawaiian roll, there would have been some left over. Jesus nearabout could have fed the multitude with this muffin. It was difficult not to laugh. A muffin, a large, oversized, huge muffin. Abraham Lincoln could have worn it as a top hat had you just cut out a portion. A muffin for a high school male senior. It made absolutely no sense. Now, keep this in mind. 40 years later, I have not forgotten the gift. I do not remember anything else Miriam's brother ever received in all of these years. Nothing. I couldn't tell you a gift, but I've never forgotten that. And you know, I don't think that Mary, Joseph, and when they told him about it, Jesus would have forgotten what the gifts were that the wise men brought. They sought them out to worship Jesus and presented to him gifts that were extremely intentional. Unusual gifts to give to a child, 6 months old to 18 months old, extremely unusual. However, the gold, maybe they were going to start him a savings account. my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, opened me a savings account at the Georgia Federal Savings and Loan. And I had a little deposit book, a savings book, and found it just a few weeks ago. The balance is zero, but I still have the book with all of the deposits and the stamps that were made. And so when we think about why these gifts, it was very interesting that Tim sang the song that he did today, A Strange Way to Save the World. In fact, early this morning, I thought to myself, I wish that I had had the guys sing A Strange Way to Save the World. When I got here, looked at the order of service. Normally, in past days, we go over this every week, but things are a little different during this time. So I was surprised, like you, with the song, A Strange Way to Save the World. And I said, can you sing it in all three services? Years ago, that song, the melody and the music, I wrote some lyrics and changed the question not to why me, why him, why her, but to why these. Why these gifts? And here's what I wrote. Why these? He's just a little bitty boy. Why these with all the trinkets in the world? Why gold for such a simple little boy? Why myrrh with so much life left to live? Now, I'm not one to second guess what wise men have to bring, but frankincense, such a strange gift for a little boy. Why these? Why not just another toy? Why these for such a simple little boy? Why these? Why these three gifts? Gold, incense, and myrrh. Joseph's question has been asked thousands of years now. The same question I'm asking others, in fact, have asked. Why these? Well, to answer the question, you've got to recognize, first of all, that the three gifts are prophetic. Each of them is prophetic on its own, each one of them. Just like I listed what those colors can represent. And now, where you just saw a colored tree, I hope you will begin to see the work of Christ in that tree. The red, his blood. The blue, his divinity. The green, his creative nature. All of the different colors representing him. But the gold was intentionally prophetic. And so was the frankincense and the myrrh. But not only prophetic, y'all, they were provisional. God was using even the gifts for a provisional purpose. And if you notice in the text, the baby is always mentioned first, or the child is mentioned first. Not Mary, his mother, not Joseph, his father, but the child. So look at the first with me, the gold. What is the purpose of them bringing him gold? Gold was and is today a highly valuable commodity. Gold in Scripture is most always used to speak of royalty and of deity. In the preparation of the tabernacle and the temple, you had, when you went into the holy place and then the most holy place, as you entered the holy place, which only the priest could enter, on the left was the menorah, seven-fingered lampstand, the perfection of God. The menorah was what Jesus was speaking of and about when he said, I am the light of the world. And then on the other side, you had the table of showbread. It was acacia wood covered with gold. Spoke of Christ's humanity, and it spoke of his divinity. And then you had the altar of incense before the veil into the Holy of Holies. And on the altar of incense, one time a year, the high priest would sprinkle blood on the horns of the corner. All other days of the year, only incense was burned from it. Nothing else was ever burned on the altar of incense. Only incense burned as an aroma pleasing to God. So gold is always associated, or most always, with royalty. Matthew's gospel is intentional in declaring, as opposed to the kings of this world, that Jesus is a king eternal, that he is king over all of creation. Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, and he was declaring to them that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that he is king over Israel and all nations. And so when they gave him the gold, they were prophetically declaring that in fact Jesus is and was the king of the Jews. He was the promised Messiah of Israel, Isaiah 9:10. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. How long? Forever. Jeremiah the prophet speaks of his kingship. Daniel speaks of it. We looked at both of those texts on Wednesday night. When in Daniel's text in chapter 7, it says that he comes before like a son of man, the Ancient of Days, speaking of God the Father. And he says that he is crowned with glory and honor. He is worthy of all's worship. And so Daniel saw it 500, 600 years before he was born. Jeremiah saw it. Isaiah saw it. The whole of the Old Testament sees it. Genesis 49:10 says a scepter will never depart from Judah, but it will always be held by a king from Judah. And so we see that the gold from the wise men is symbolic of the kingly nature of Jesus Christ and that he is the king of eternity. Secondly, the incense or frankincense. Upon the altar of incense in the holy place, always in the morning and in the evening, at least twice a day, the priest and the priest alone would bring the incense to burn it, and it symbolized the prayers of the people rising up before God. And so as we see that, who burned the incense? A priest. And one time a year, the high priest offered blood on the corners or the horns of the altar. And so the prayers symbolized, the incense symbolized the prayer of God's people that as a fragrant aroma went into his presence. Hebrews says that he's seated at the right hand of God and he ever lives to intercede for the saints. So today, Jesus doesn't go to the altar of incense and make sacrifice. That's done once and for all. At the bronze laver, altar outside, he's washed us clean at the brazen laver. He's gone in. He's the light of the world. He is the king of Israel and all of the nations. He has offered up himself as a fragrant aroma to God. So now he's seated at the right hand, but he's still interceding on our behalf as our high priest. We need no other priest. For in Christ, we have all become priests. And we can come into the throne room, hearts being sprinkled clean with blood. So they brought him frankincense because he is the priest most high of God. He is our mediator. Paul said it to Timothy this way. He said, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for many. So Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. And it says in Hebrews over and over again that he is able and his sacrifice is sufficient. And I'd encourage you to read Hebrews. Remember this, written to a Jewish audience that had become believers in Christ predominantly, that were thinking about quitting and going back to the old way because things were tough. So Pastor Scott and I were talking yesterday about this believer that was imprisoned across the seas for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I can talk to anybody anywhere without fear of imprisonment at this time in our nation. Now, who knows, that may not be the case always, but it is today. You can share it on aisle 4 at the grocery store. You can share it at the drive-up window at Bojangles or Burger King. You can stand on the corner at McDonald's and preach on the street if you want to. You can sing about it and share about it in here. But over there, you're put in jail if you tell somebody about Jesus. But all that does, like Paul, it gives you more people to talk to until they put you in solitary confinement. And then you just pray that the Spirit of God would speak to the people you can't speak to. And so what we know is we have a high priest who intercedes on our behalf. And thirdly, they brought him myrrh. This was used as a medicine, an antiseptic. You remember they tried to give it to Jesus on the cross. mixed with vinegar, and he wouldn't take it. But it was also used predominantly to prepare for burial and embalm the dead. Giving a child something meant for the work of a funeral director made no sense to the world. But Jesus was named Jesus because his mother was told, and his father was told, his stepfather, God was his father, that he will save his people from their what? Their sins. He would die. And y'all, just like those red lights on that Christmas tree need to stand out to you every time you look at them, as the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness and washes us as white as snow. We need to be mindful that Jesus Christ was born to die. Miriam's been holding merrily today. She's born to live. Jesus Christ was born that those hands could receive the piercing of the Roman executioner's nails. His brow was formed and fashioned as God would dwell among us to receive the crown of thorns. His feet to take the gospel to the nations, but to be slaughtered on Calvary's cross for our sins. You see, Jesus needed a gift of myrrh because he would be a suffering servant savior. Nicodemus rightly brought before Jesus at his death myrrh and aloes to prepare his body for burial. John 19:39. Isaiah 53, read the whole chapter. It's a beautifully amazing and glorious. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. God knew the purpose for which he would come, and he still sent him so that he would die for us. Holman Hunt, you can look it up online, painted a picture years ago of Jesus as a young man at Joseph's carpentry shop. As the sun is setting in the west, he's stretching back like this, and as he stretches, the sun casts a shadow behind him on the wall of the cross. Throughout Jesus' 33 years of life, and even in Bethlehem, there was always the shadow of the cross present, because that is what he came for, and that is what he came to accomplish, to die. And the hymn writer said beautifully, he was born that man no more may die. Because he lives, we shall live also. The name Jesus is mentioned over 900 times in the New Testament. His name means Jehovah, the Lord saves. If we don't understand what he came to do, just recognize how often his name was repeated in the New Testament, and its meaning has come to fruition in him, that the Lord would save. 500 times the word gospel is used. So when we think about these gifts, why talk about them today? The gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh for a sacrificial savior. What about those gifts? Well, first of all, those gifts advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ even when Jesus was a child. When you begin reading in verse 13, and maybe we'll look at it in the next month, but when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother to Egypt." Why? To put a hedge of protection around them, because Herod was going to take the lives of all the boys in the region below the age of 2 years old. They were poor people. Now, I don't know if somebody comes to you and if things were open and you could do it, and they said, "Listen, you need to go over to London, England, and you need to stay there for 3 months." Would that cause you some anxiety? Most of us in the room, it would. I don't know about you, but I don't have the resources to do that. Now, I could charge up a credit card, but I couldn't stay 3 months. I might could get there and get back, but I've got to eat. So listen, most women would go into an anxiety attack, worried about how are we going to take care of little Jesus? How are we going to get him a new outfit every other week? What are we going to do to feed him? Where's he going to stay? Yes, even though things were much simpler then, there was all of this concern. The answer Joseph could say is, "Mary, God has provided once again. The gold is provisional. It is meant for us to be carried through these next days. The frankincense was worth something. And so they could have used all of those things to be carried along. And so think with me. It wasn't just at the end of his life that the gospel was on task and was moving forward. It was throughout his life. Those gifts, these gifts, moved Jesus' ministry forward. They advanced the gospel. Think about the work of God. He sends wise men from 500 miles as the crow flies. It probably took them 800 miles to get there in a time where transportation was quite different. God sent those men, brought those gifts. They bent the knee, worshiped Christ to encourage Mary and Joseph to stay the course. The baby and child didn't know what was going on at that time. He was fully man, and so he was living the life of a child perfectly, which seems to blow our minds, doesn't it? No, never telling Mary wrongly no. I mean, if Mary was going to use a spice that would have killed everybody, maybe Jesus said, no, mother, not that one. Not a good idea. Wise counsel. But the gold helped them to move safely into the next season of life. So y'all, there was no need for anxiety, no need for desperation, because they had what they needed. God sent all of those, even the light, the Shekinah glory of God, Daniel, all of the pieces of the puzzle God uses to advance the cause of the gospel. As Pastor Scott wrote to the staff yesterday, prison opens up many doors of opportunity. So I mentioned to you, and as I've mentioned in the last two services, I wasn't going to mention it, but if I'm not back home in a day and everybody wonders where I am in, I've had another hernia hit in my middle, right at my belly button, and I'm not going to wait for it to get worse. So it worked out that Tuesday, Piedmont Atlanta can take me in, and I'm going to have surgery again. But you know what? Listen, a little concerned about COVID. I've asked the doctor, I've asked others. They say, no, you're going to be fine. It's, you know, safe and secure. So I'm going to go do it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what I've always sought to do. I'm going to be intentional. Hospitals are great places to share the gospel and to encourage the people in the gospel. So even though I'm going to have surgery, I'm going on a mission this week, and I need you just to pray for me, but more than worry about me, I need you to be on mission this week for the gospel. Encourage each other, call somebody, pray with them and for them, reach out to somebody that's hurting, that's lonely, and take the gospel to your workplace and to your school and wherever you go. We all need to be on mission and taking our lives as gifts offered to the Lord intentionally. And Kenny, when you go back to work, you tell Big John I'm still waiting to see him. We were out of piano player last week, and I told Brian, I said, Big John maybe needs to step up to the plate. Listen, Big John that works with Kenny, he knows what it means to encourage somebody with a smile. Listen, folks, God's gifted some of y'all to just be encouragers. Do it wherever you are. Share the gospel through your gifts. God provided what Jesus needed in advance to make it to Egypt and back. Every one of his steps was ordered. Don't you think God wants to order every one of our steps for his good and glory? So, y'all, they gave him offerings as an act of sincere worship. How significant they were in light of the fulfillment theme, which is woven through the gospel, that Jesus is a kingly priest and is a suffering sacrifice for all. So the gold, a king, the frankincense, the incense for the priest, it was burned on the altar of incense. Look at Exodus chapter 30, and you can read about that very place and who was to offer it. And myrrh was used to embalm the dead. So as we go out of here today with the gospel in our heart and mind and on purpose, what gifts will you give to the Lord? What gifts will I give to the Lord? What will we keep for ourselves, and what would we share with him? God blesses us. He doesn't ask us to give him every material resource back that he gives to us. He only asks for a portion. And with him, a portion is enough to accomplish the whole. But he does ask for us to give back to him. He asks us to give him our all, our heart, and our very lives. So what will you give him? The spiritual answer that is right, the first one is what? A heart, our hearts. He wants you to give yourself to him. If you're not a Christian, accept Jesus Christ and come to him by faith. If you are a Christian, do what Ephesians 5 says, every day submit to the Holy Spirit of God. Which color on the tree did I just encourage you to remember as being the Holy Spirit? The amber, gold, yellow one, the fire of the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to fill you every day and give your all to the Lord no matter what you do. Give him your hands. Nick mentioned the Keys Ferry Campus. Let me tell you something. The gospel is advancing forward in simple ways. When I watched this week, when Greg and Russell weeks ago put up the lights in the parking lot. Greg, by the way, you can literally land an airplane out there, play basketball. I mean, you can do surgery in that parking lot. I would literally, if they set up a hospital operating room, let them do surgery, you can see anything out there. There's enough light. And before, you couldn't hardly see anything. And the lights were buzzing and making noise. Listen, that's an act of advancing the gospel to put those lights there. The only thing is, now I got people telling me to get lights out here. Curtis is already pointing. All right, so Curtis is going to pay you for them, Greg, and you put them up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Curtis. They only cost $100 and something a piece. Listen, I'm telling him because I know Curtis. He'll go home, tell Chris, oh, there's Chris. Chris, just lay off a couple of pairs of shoes and we can light the whole parking lot. Just get you some shoes and pay for the lights. That work out that way. Curtis buys the lights, you get some shoes, give them to each other for Christmas. Got to have fun. Listen. Y'all, this week, I've watched children advance the cause of the gospel. One of the little Nolan children yesterday, I said to him, run down there. Well, actually, that was one of Roselle's kids, I think. I sent down to get the magnet, right? You got the magnet. You used it and got bored in a little while. But he went around, picked up all the nails. Boom, 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 boom. Nap. I mean, it's fun. You can walk, and the nails just jump out of the ground. One of them jumped into Nick's foot. He was wearing tennis shoes. Should have been wearing a boot. I told him, but, you know, it's like your mother. She tells you what to do. You either do it or don't and pay the price. But praise God, he's working okay today. Me and Scott, we're old and about feeble, you know, from doing. But listen, the boys, this one and the Nolan, one little fella, he came to me with a half of a 5-gallon bucket filled with nails. I said, I know it's in there. He wanted to carry it all the way across the playground to show me what he'd done. I'm going to tell you something. He's helping to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person that pulled a piece of siding off of the building, helping to advance the gospel. When Tim Kaufman was nailing that plastic up yesterday, advancing the gospel. When Roselle was holding the ladder for Christopher, and Christopher's up there looking like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation, and he's hammering. I'm thinking, Lord, don't let that ladder fall. And Roselle's down there with that little snicker on his face. I'm thinking, I hope he's not thinking about letting that ladder go, because I'm envisioning Christopher coming down that ladder. No, those two guys were advancing the gospel. When Cliff Clayman was up there and sliding around the roof, and he says to me, Pastor, who took the ladder? I still don't know if it was you two or the other side. But they moved a guy's ladder, and he's stuck up there like Griswold in the attic, advancing the gospel. Cliff Clayman was so tired on Thursday night that I thought he was going to fall out as he carried up into that dumpster that last piece of plywood, advancing the gospel. Curtis holding the ladder for Seth Fowler, who's home from college. A college sophomore took off the whole front of the building once Curtis got him up there. We had to encourage him. You can do it, boy. You can do it. Kid can throw a shot put across the world, but he was worried about that roof holding him up. But listen, every one of you, and then not to mention the senior adult lady who bought donuts 3 days in a row. When I said yesterday, they got enough left over and don't bring so many. She said, nope, you always want to have more than enough. And she went and got another boatload and brought them. When Kim Securo brought Shane's, when Jonelle brought Chick-fil-A, I mean, I can just go on and on and on. Teresa and Dale Washington late last night went to and picked up 2 tree skirts, drove them to over here, got a set of keys from me, went out to Keys Ferry, put them on the tree skirt, like slipping in there in the middle of the night, and put them on there so when the folks got there this morning, it would be ready. Those people that walk out of here today are on the way in, and they put a dime or a million in that box. Or you go online and you click send from your bank account, whether it's a widow's mite or a millionaire's multitude. It's advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether they taught Sunday school in the lower floor or upper floor, stood in a parking lot, opened a door, offered a smile, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 of my children of the 3 are on the platform today. Thank God. What I want more for my children than anything on the face of the earth or in my journey is that they would know and serve Jesus Christ. My oldest son, I'm so proud of. He's disciplined. He's got a phenomenal job, just transferred to Knoxville. He has matured, unbelievably so. Ben is a bright-minded person. He knows more when he was in the first grade than I'll know in my entire life. And I'm not just saying that. He is a smart person. I am a simple-minded person. Lauren has excelled in speech pathology. I don't understand it. She has to explain it to me. But let me tell you something. I don't care if they make more money than anybody on the face of the earth. If they don't serve Jesus Christ, my life will come off to me as being a failure. Now, I know I can't make them serve Jesus. I can't force them to serve Jesus. But I better model serving Jesus, where if they fought me for anything, that I thought too much about Jesus. And the same for their mother. When I die and my body's laying in a casket, if my children know and serve the Lord, I hope the funeral director puts a smile on my face when he stitches my mouth closed. And if I don't have one, I hope he takes some extra string and pulls one up there. I'm not kidding. Listen, God can give us everything he's given us, but if we don't use our hands and our hearts and what we have for him, we've blown the opportunity given us. You all know what it's like to hear a word of encouragement, a word of blessing from your parents. I hope you know. Hope you've had your parents tell you you did something well. I remember in the 7th grade, when they wouldn't let us have a field trip to Six Flags, my parent told me, get one together, my mother and dad, and they supported me. I had a football game that afternoon, but I still was able to take about 200 kids, as I remember, on rented buses, yellow buses from Thompson Bus Company. And you know what? My parents didn't say, you're too young. You don't know what you're doing. They just said, do it. And so listen, that helped y'all to be willing to say, you know what? He's crazy, but he probably knows what he's thinking about doing with this extra campus of the church. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know what we're going to do totally and completely. I just know we're going to share the gospel. We're going to preach the gospel, sing the gospel, serve the gospel, that's what I know we're to do. Exactly how we're going to do it, I'm still working on that. Pray for us. It's going to come together. Listen, I'm not worrying about money. I'm not going to sit around and count every night. Oh, my gosh. Because every time some need comes up, somebody in this crowd, by the hand of God, meets it. It's blowing my mind. But he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, I need to be like Forrest Gump, don't I? I need to head for home soon. But let me just tell you something. What gifts are you going to offer to Jesus? Anybody in here put an air conditioning unit in your home lately? Anybody? Anybody in here? Nobody? Praise God. Curtis, you put one. You willing to give us a ballpark of what it costs per unit? $6,000. 4 ton, 5 ton, 3 ton?
One of those.
Okay. Y'all, I don't know how he pulled this off, but I'm going to tell you something. Scott Securo at first told me, and Scott Evans, where's Scott Evans? Scott, you told me it's going to cost $5,000-$6,000 a unit, right? Scott Securo comes back, we needed 5-6 units out there to start over. I mean, the other ones, on, off, work, don't work. So Scott said $5,000 to $6,000. We're looking at the numbers, saying, well, we probably better do it because it's going to cost more later. He comes back the other day, said, listen, I've worked out with the supplier. Get a load of this. He said they're going to supply us all of the equipment for $3,000 per unit. And I'm just going to tell you, he said, and I've already got two of them paid for. So y'all, we only got to pay four times 3,000. Let's figure up all that math. That's the economy of God. He's meeting every need out there. Donuts, air conditioning units, light fixtures. I mean, Greg's got the truck to put the lights up. Mary, right there, Mary, all the time. Mary, what do you do? I'm an artist. I mean, you people tell you they're an artist. Yeah, right. I'm an artist. I can color in the lines. Go on and look at Mary's Instagram account. The woman is an artist. Amazing, amazing work. And she designs fabrics that are in fabric stores. Amazing fabrics. So somebody busted the $300 shepherd that's out here on the right, you know, got a little figurine. $300 he cost. Somebody's throwing the trash. I thought, no, I took it home. I took epoxy, pour 15 putty. I worked it as best I could, made a sloppy mess of it. Called Mary, said, can you paint this thing? When you go out the door, you try to find where it was busted. It's on the right when you go out the door. The woman advanced the gospel because some little kid's going to go out there today and their mother, Heather, is going to say, look at the shepherd. And she can say, Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep. You see the picture here? So what are you going to provide? What are you going to offer? If you're a nurse, be the best nurse you can be. If you work at the school board, be the best employee you can be. If you build signs, build them better than anybody. You see what I'm saying here? If you're a grandmother, be the best grandmother on the face of the earth and invest in your grandchildren. Don't stay at home with them when they come to visit. You're in charge of your house. Tell them to get in the car. We're going to church. I'm not kidding, grandparents. My grandparents are not keeping me home. If I ever retire from the ministry, which I'm not, but if I do or God takes me out, my kids or grandkids are not staying at home with me. We're going to church. I wish my grandparents had taken me to church instead of staying home with me. Okay, Forrest, I hear you. It's time to go home. Boys and girls, if you did not get a star Wednesday night, fifth grade and under, you can get one out there at the welcome desk when you leave. Everybody else, if there's one left after the children get them, you can get you one for your tree. Put your name on it in the year. And listen, God's given us all gifts with which to honor him. Listen, I don't know how to build that building over there and do all that specifically, but I tell you what, I can dream a dream, and I can involve other people to help see it fulfilled. That's God's gifting to me. Glenn can find you. I called him this, or told him this week, Jennifer Landrum lost her husband last year. Listen to me, folks. Don't check out. I need you to pray about this. Jennifer lost her husband. She was a waitress in a restaurant, now works in our school. Her husband was a chef but lost his job when COVID started, got bacterial meningitis, died, two little children, go to Salem Christian Academy. You're helping to support the children, by the way, just by having that school. Okay. But she needed a car. I said, don't go anywhere else. I said, you got to talk to Glenn before you spend your money. I said, he's the most honest car person you'll ever meet. Now, Glenn, you still selling cars? Glenn Benedict. You're out of the car business. All right. Didn't want to leave you out. This guy right here is the most honest car person I've ever met. And he's not going to let me down on that, are you, Glenn? The guy's as solid and as genuine a person as you'll ever meet. He's not a shyster. And so I told her, you got to talk to Glenn before you buy a car. because he can save you the money. Glenn knows when to make money on a car and who can pay it, Curtis. But this is a deal where we need to pray that Jennifer Landrum gets just the right car for her children and her safe. Listen, they're in need. What are we going to do, church? We're going to support them. Which reminds me, I've got an envelope over one of my car's visor that I need to give to somebody in the church that's also in need, that somebody gave me a gift. Somebody remind me to do that today. Praise the Lord. We have gifts. Put them at the feet of Jesus. Enough said. Let's pray.